If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
It's Fightful's The Hump. With
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump for July 23rd, 2025. We have Jimmy Van here. Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing good, Sean Ross Sapp. Good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you. I was actually excited to do a show with you last week, of which you know showed per usual.
Because of Goldberg?
Because of Goldberg. I wanted to hear your thoughts on Goldberg. We got plenty to talk about this week, but I do want to hear your thoughts on that this week. Before we do that, leave a thumbs up, guys. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. Listen, we are closing in on 200,000 subscribers. That has shot up heavily since we've actually promoted it within YouTube this year, and I've done some marketing stuff. We've got some new video types that I'll tell you guys about down the line. Incredible interviews this week. Isla Dom with Corey Brennan, and what people are saying in the comments, Jimmy, one of our best interviews we've ever done. It's Speedball Mike Bailey and I, and like halfway through, we just start talking about the psychology of strikes in wrestling because I'm a nerd for that stuff, and who better to ask than that gentleman, but lots going on, but we want to know what you guys want to talk about. Get in your super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. That is hump like a camel's hump or other recreational humping activities.
Jimmy. I loved you breaking Tony Storm. I don't know if we talked about this on the air, but before, I don't think we did. I loved it. And I really think highly of her. I think highly of her.
Oh, she's great.
She always does her best to stay in character, and you broke her, and I loved it, Sean. That was really good. I actually just saw Juice Robinson talk to Renee.
Yes. Oh, he's wonderful.
And he was really gushing over her, right? Over Tony.
Yes.
And she does such a good job of staying in character. And so in a weird way, I was proud of you that you broke her, Sean. It was just one of those things.
That is my Pulitzer. Like, I don't need anything else. Doing that is good. And I love Juice Robinson, like, as a person, as a performer. Like, I really admire him. We've got a good relationship. I've had the good fortune of interviewing him. Actually, I spotted him in Dallas ahead of his return. And I was like, did you try to shave to throw everybody off so they wouldn't recognize
you? He's very different. Yes, he does.
And actually, after that interview, Desti and I were going to lunch, and we got into the Uber that they were getting out of. So we saw them there, and I was so proud of that. And like, I was proud of that interview with Timeless Tony Storm in general. But Jimmy, that wasn't even the highest viewed thing that we got, even though it's over well, on YouTube alone, over 100,000 views between the shorts and the interview. Just a presser video of her saying that she creamed her panties and no, the world can't buy them. Did
that.
Over 400,000 on Facebook, Jimmy.
Oh, the things people search for, Sean.
We're just trying to get that monetized at this point. If anybody can help us out, please help us out. Also, if anybody can help us get our Fightful Espanol Twitter account that got banned back,
I might be able to help with that. I remember I helped with one of the girls that one of your friends that needed help. I got hers back. I can probably do it. I just haven't thought about it. You have to remind me.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing good there, had like over 5,000 subscribers. We were getting interviews for the Espanol channel, of which Luis is doing. We want that back. Go tweet at X or post at X.
When this is done, I'll work on it.
Yeah, it's just one that like we aren't going to do an Espanol site as of yet. But we do want to get those socials because I think we can break even on whatever we pay Luis through doing interviews and breaking Espanol news and stuff like that across these socials. And that's something that we're clearly expanding into. Quick plug before we get into things, guys. I did a video last week. It's the latest in the Fightful Studios series about what it's like interviewing Bret the Hitman Hart. And I hope that you guys will check that out. I really enjoyed it. And we've had a bunch of interviews this past week. I want to thank you guys for supporting the coverage that we did at AEW All In Texas. That was a very expensive trip. And we rarely make our money back on those, but we do that because I know our audience wants that stuff and it helps grow our audience. So I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to this gentleman, Josh Morgan, who always rolls up and does big super chats, humper chats, and then just doesn't leave a question because he's the man. But Jimmy, we had some insane super chats that I know you're not aware of on the NXT show last night. Are you aware of the lore surrounding this show and why we're getting such big chats for that?
Surrounding the post show?
The NXT post show specifically.
No.
It ties into Tony Storm.
It does.
So I watched Freddie Got Fingered last year. Uh-huh. I mentioned this.
I know where you're going. Yes, go ahead.
Of course, yes. And recently we had Alex review Hot Rod. I thought it was a very funny movie. But Alex did the most long, intricate review of Hot Rod that exists online. It was
Andy guy is in that, right?
Andy Samberg.
That's right.
Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, Danny McBride.
Yeah.
And it was a sincerely fantastic interview. Even though I disagreed with everything that he said in the review, it was a fantastic review. And you can see a lot more of his reviews on Fightful Select. But after watching Freddie Got Fingered, I was like, Jimmy, the society needs Alex Pawlowski to review this movie. They really need him to. And it got brought up in the Tony Storm interview, and that led to her breaking. But originally, Jimmy, he tried to quote us for like $1,000. He's like, yeah, sure, you give me $1,000, I will. And mm-hmm. Kate, too. They have since come down on their price to customizable puppets of themselves.
Ah.
Of which we got some sizable donations. I'm talking like a $200 super chat towards the fund of last night.
So does Harley Cameron make hers herself? Does she have somebody that does that?
Of course she does. Like, why wouldn't, right? Like, of course she doesn't. She probably makes the microfibers that comprise those as well, knowing her. But I am on the lookout for custom puppet makers, guys. If you guys know of any that are reasonably priced.
Go on Etsy. You'll find them.
Yes. Miss Kate Fabe is here. I'm trying to make this happen. It will be a main show review. It'll be a main channel review. That way, hopefully, we can chip away at the cost of that anyway. But
are they going to do the whole thing as their puppets?
So I don't know how that would play out because, like, I want a sincere Alex Pawlowski review of this because I've really found that to be one of the most entertaining reviews I have ever seen on our channel. You know what? Right up there. You know when we had to review Abducted in Plain Sight? Like, yes. There's no way we couldn't.
Which did really well. Yes.
Did fantastic. Still paying off for us today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. But Jimmy, I mentioned, you know, oh, here we go. Meet Norma saying we got at least 250 from Batman 1916 for puppets. Time to crank out some puppets. I'm smoking a whole ass chicken. Cheers to you both. I'm going to visit this gentleman one day. Like, listen, Jimmy, I got roasted last week. And this is something you got to talk about as well. Because they asked me how I like my steak. And I said medium well to well.
You do?
Sometimes. And
I don't think we ever had this conversation.
Jimmy, after hearing that Sean enjoys his steak cooked like cardboard, how do you like it cooked and what is your favorite cut? Well, I know that Jimmy treated me to a wonderful cut of Wagyu steak in Vegas. But Jimmy, please answer this. I'd love to talk about this.
The only way to eat steak is medium rare. And so I like it medium rare. And I got to give a shout out to my wife because my wife actually makes a killer tomahawk. Like she does a great job. Matter of fact, I don't like to talk about this kind of stuff, but tomorrow's my birthday. And my wife said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, make me one of those tomahawks because she does a damn good job. So tomahawk medium rare is excellent. And Japanese A5 Wagyu. If you can go to like the right restaurant, if John Elba sees this, he's with me on this. If you go to the right restaurant, Japanese A5 Wagyu, medium rare, it's wonderful. But that's my favorite.
So let me explain myself. I like camp cooking, outdoor cooking, truck camping cooking. I like to cook like steaks and meat and good cold weather, like snow, but a fire pit. I'm not going to eat that stuff unless it's cooked through. That's how I'm used to it.
I will eat it. I can have blood pouring out of that thing, Sean. I'll eat it. No problem. Have you ever had beef tartare before?
No, and I never will.
You know what it is though, right?
Of course I do. Yeah. Okay. But I remember Diego Sanchez, of course it's a Diego Sanchez thing. He had beef tartare between his weigh-in and his fight.
Yep.
And of course he didn't make it to that fight. He did not. You can't go from cutting weight to having beef tartare. It's just it's not smart to do, right? Like,
well, I love beef tartare as well. I'm the ultimate carnivore. So
also, I haven't done most of the cooking the last couple of years since we moved here. My wife does. She will not cook anything medium rare out of her own paranoia. She won't. But
paranoia about what? About illness?
About illness. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but. You know what? Tony Khan is streaming up against us right now.
Oh, is he?
He's competing with us.
Hell, ask him how he likes his steak. How does he like his steak?
But
medium rare is really the only answer. So
I will have a medium rare steak again soon. I will. But I remember a girl that I dated when I was a teenager asked for her steak still mooing.
Blue, they call that, yeah.
And I'll say this. She's the type of person that has 10 Facebook accounts now. So she ain't doing too great in life.
Good for her.
Good
have blues in life.
Jimmy, that is not a good thing.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy. He's talking about paintings. So Bill Goldberg last week.
Okay.
I want your thoughts on how he handled that, how WWE handled it, and the like.
So tell the people this first, Sean. As that interview was happening live, you hit me up and you said, you've got to see this Bill Goldberg interview. I hadn't seen 1 second of it. And what did I say to you? I said,
You told me exactly what he said. You told me verbatim what he said. And like it was mind-boggling how accurate you were.
Yeah, because Goldberg, with all due respect to Bill Goldberg, like he's a wrestling legend. He accomplished great things in wrestling, and you can't take that away from him. When WCW was really on the way down, and WWE was really in control of the Monday Night War, Goldberg hit. And if it wasn't for Bill Goldberg, WCW would have died way sooner than they did. So you have to give him credit, but. Anybody that watches Bill Goldberg, obviously he's confident to the point of arrogant, right? And I think any wrestling star really should be. Like if you're going to be the top of the food chain in pro wrestling or in any sports endeavor, you've got to have that confidence / arrogance. And Goldberg's got that. And so seeing the interview get cut off at the end, seeing it be on broadcast TV where there were commercials in the middle of the match, I knew that was going to be his problem. And so when you said to me, look at the interview, I said, let me guess, he didn't like the interview got cut off. He didn't like commercials in the middle of his match because it wasn't on pay-per-view. And that's what he said. I thought it was interesting that he kept on telling Ariel Helwani, I got 2 weeks before I can really say anything, but then he would bitch. And then he would say, yes. but you know, it is what it
Ariel's,
is. Appreciate the opportunity.
Ariel's good at pushing. He's very
good at pushing. Yeah, he is. You know what? I see both sides. So on the one hand, I think I understand everybody saying Goldberg is ungrateful and the guy's in his late 50s and they gave him a great opportunity and he made a lot of money. I get all that. And that's true. But I think you need to put yourself in Goldberg's shoes too, because this was, you know, supposed to be his final match in his hometown. He said he had like 90 people there, friends and family. I'm sure that he had a vision in his head of how it was going to play out. He had already agreed to put Gunther over, but I'm sure he had a vision in his head of how it was going to play out. And I'm sure when he went back and watched it afterwards, he was probably disappointed. He knew it was on broadcast TV, so he knew there were going to be commercials, but I'm sure he was disappointed. Oh, they cut my interview off after 30 seconds and, you know, time was probably cut from the match because of time limitations on broadcast TV.
Oh, no.
No?
Ended up, I mean, it went okay from what I understood.
Time-wise, yeah.
Because first they got a lot of time, and then the Rollins thing, whether it's a work or not, ended earlier than people backstage expected.
Okay, right, okay. So I understand Goldberg being disappointed with certain elements, but at the same time, like I said, late 50s, they brought him in now for about the last decade. By all accounts, paid him a shit ton of money, especially for the Saudi shows. Put the title on him several times. He beat Kevin Owens. He beat Brock Lesnar. He beat Bray Wyatt. Made him look like $1 million. He did come off looking a little bit ungrateful. WWE didn't need to do it. Obviously, they wanted to draw for that particular show on that particular night because they were counter-programming All In. But they didn't need to use Bill Goldberg. They could have done something else. So,
I mean, I think this person is right. Goldberg saw what AEW did with Sting and was like, I want that. I think so too. But the difference is, like, Sting had probably 25 matches in his retirement run. I think maybe one or two of them were bad, or one or two of them weren't good, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Because they knew how to do that in a situation of which Sting would look good. Sting wanted to put people over. Sting didn't want to be a champion. But even in him winning when he wrapped up, it still put over Darby. It established Darby. Sure. This whole thing was to give Darby a lot more credibility. And I look back and I'm like, okay. You think about Goldberg's last run, and we're not talking about from 2021 to 2024. We're talking like 2016.
Yep. Son was like 11 when he first came back, right?
And now he is in college and doing really well.
And Goldberg made a lot of money. They paid him very well to do those matches.
And Goldberg had like a few things that like weren't offensively bad. I thought the Ziggler thing was very good, even though people hated it. Yeah, I like that.
The stuff with Brock was okay. It's even the match at Mania when Brock won the title back, that was all right.
Listen, even though that night when Goldberg Lesnar happened and it was a squash, like now I look at it and I go, okay, that was a good short-term program. At the time, I thought it was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. But that was good. And almost everything that Goldberg has done since then was terrible. With a few exceptions, I liked Ziggler a lot more than other people. Mm-hmm. I thought the Lashley match wasn't completely offensive. Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless. Get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And then Gunther dragged him to a decent performance, which is all you can ask of.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I, there were certain people, and I'm going to be just completely frank. I mean, guys like Peter Rosenberg, he's just a WWE shill. I don't really care what he has to say, but I understand the mentality about, oh, Goldberg is ungrateful. I get it. But like sure. I said, I understand Goldberg's point of view. And I think what you just said about, he probably saw Sting and wanted that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, granted, Sting got it on pay-per-view, right? He had no time limitations. He had no nothing. He had all the time he wanted. If Goldberg had got it on a PLE, there would have been no commercial breaks, and he would have probably gotten the ribbon on the present that he wanted. But at the same time, being on broadcast wasn't a bad thing. I mean, look at the audience they got. They were number one in their time slot on all of television. So, and he knew it going in too. He knew it was going to be on NBC.
You know what he should have done? He should have watched it on Netflix with NordVPN.com/Fightful, Jimmy. Because right now, Bill Goldberg, who is retired, he's going to have to save some money. He can get 2 years plus four extra months of NordVPN and a 30-day money-back guarantee at NordVPN.com/Fightful. But that ain't it, Jimmy. We are helping broke Goldberg even more. You can get an Amazon gift card. Choose a plan, use NordVPN, and get rewarded after 31 to 50 days. And if for some reason you don't like that, get your money back after a 30-day money-back guarantee. But you're going to love it. You might say, Sean, why as a wrestling fan do I need it? Well, if you want to save money, you could have bought the TNA pay-per-view for half price. You could have bought the AEW pay-per-view for half price. The UFC pay-per-view this weekend, half price. You could have saved on all that stuff with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, Sean, how's that possible? You get the app, change your virtual location, you get the price that they're paying overseas, which is much, much less. Now, you're going to say, well, maybe it doesn't work on my PC, my router, no, it works on all that stuff. No matter the operating system, no matter the device, NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. And it's not just that. You can listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals. If you use NordVPN, let us know in the chat. They've got a password manager, a file encryption tool, 24/7 tech support. I've had a couple people hit me up and say, hey, what tier do you recommend? For the stuff that's wrestling related, all you need is the very bottom tier. We're talking like $2 to $3 a month on average, and it's going to end up saving you $15 to $20 on each pay-per-view that you buy. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's free money, my friends.
One Goldberg question for you before we move on.
Sure.
What did you think of the news coming out that Charles Robinson got a rib injury from the spear, and Goldberg on the Ariel Helwani interview kind of disregarded it and said, it's happened before kind of thing. Like, he didn't really seem to care.
Perhaps the least shocking thing that was said in that in that interview full of not shocking things that he said.
Right, right.
The fact that he is like, yeah, I probably broke his rib before and it'll heal just like the last one.
Right.
The art of pro wrestling is making it look like it hurts without it actually hurting or damaging the person.
Right.
That is the art of pro wrestling. And that is the very foundation of why Bret Hart dislikes Bill Goldberg to this day, because he was unsafe, dangerous, and hurt people. And Bret Hart really prided himself on not hurting people. And this is a guy who ended his career as a result. So leading up to this, I said that I greatly admired Bill Goldberg's contributions while also knowing that he's just quite ridiculous about a lot of things. And that's one of them. This is a referee who is 60, who is doing you a favor. He's doing you a favor in his last match. Like, you're not doing Charles Robinson a favor by like allowing him to be in there to ref your final match. Charles Robinson has been a part of more big matches than Bill Goldberg has at this point. He's been reffing for 25 plus years. Another big match ain't nothing to Charles Robinson. He's been a part of this stuff for decades. To the point, Jimmy, where they ran back a popular meme of him running down to the ring a few weeks ago. Like, Charles Robinson is one of the greatest referees ever. And to just like dismiss it like that, I was like, oh, that's disrespectful. I was like, that's lame. You hurt the guy.
Yeah.
Well, we got some super chats and humper chats. Mr. Straightfire says this question probably can't be answered, but I'd like your thoughts. What do you think is the weekly or the percentage of weekly WWE viewers who don't follow insider news or online rumors and strictly consume WWE content on TV? 10%? I think it's way higher than 10%.
Yep. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Way high.
See, here's the thing. And this is something everybody thinks that because they're online and they're following the wrestling news, everybody is. And it's just not. It's not. Like, I know people that are casual wrestling fans, and they might tune in and watch Raw. They don't know anything going on behind the scenes at all.
Yep.
So I think that the AEW audience, it's very high, because the AEW audience is a smaller audience, and it's a very smart online audience. The WWE audience, which is more casual, yeah. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a pretty strong, at least half, maybe more.
I think the general audience like that is more likely to know like a Chris Van Vliet than like a me or Meltzer, because they can go and watch interviews that way. They're probably not refreshing on Fightful Select. Wish they would. Just $5.99 a month, by the way. I would love to like be cruising around on a gold e-bike around Lexington, Kentucky right now.
You used to say a gold jet ski.
I don't like the water that much. I just watched this Dangerous Animals movie. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Did you see the Brazilian reporter that found the girl's body when he was covering it?
When he was covering that movie?
No, he was. There was
covering that woman.
He was covering the story of a 13-year-old girl that they suspected had drowned, and he goes into the water because he wanted to show how deep it was, and he inadvertently stepped on the body.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's crazy. Yeah. So then they brought in the police and they found the body. It was unbelievable.
By the way, guys, I want to thank you all who donated to a cause that I posted. I'm going to pin the tweet. A little bit of a trigger warning about self-harm stuff, but a child, quite frankly, lost her life, 10 years old, and the family in our area is really reeling. So if you can donate to that, we would greatly appreciate that. It would
age of my daughter. That's the age of my daughter. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's horrifying to think that like
they have that wherewithal.
And it wasn't the first time that it was attempted. And the mother posted an apology letter from the daughter one of the times that she had tried. And it's the most heartbreaking thing you're ever going to see. And I hate that for the family. The father went, like, my wife and I both went to two schools, two colleges. And the father went to one, the mother went to the other. So we kind of knew who they were, but horrible, very sad. Let's get some of these super chats, humper chats. Thanks for all you guys do. Hope you're having a good week. The WWE product has been so mid lately that I've gone from not seeing the point of Sour Graps to being a regular viewer. they're sometimes on the exit surveys, Jimmy, it'll be like, Alex is too negative. And I'm like, well, here's the beauty. You can take this and you can hit this button that's in the middle and it allows you to scroll past. You can take your phone like this, Jimmy, and go, and it will allow you to go past the podcast you don't want to listen to. I'm not sure if that's available on Apple devices yet. They'll probably reintroduce scrolling like in 2 years and then announce it as a new feature.
Yeah, and then they'll eat half of Patreon's profits on it. So, or half of our profits anyway.
If Patreon doesn't do it first, buddy, we'll see. Mm-hmm. So Matthew Hook says, why pay for TNA when all the main draws will be on NXT? Let's talk about this.
Yep. This is a deep one.
It says, and I'll get to Joel's chat as well. Mm-hmm. This weekend, TNA was in New York City, home of Mike Santana, did their biggest announced North American crowd. Probably didn't actually hit that, but who could really give a shit? And Trick Williams ends up winning. So I had heard about this midweek. I actually posted that in our betting tips on FightfulSelect.com. You boy. But JC Jane, who I'm a big fan of, also emerged with the TNA and NXT titles. This comes after Joe Hendry has been featured on WWE TV quite consistently over the last year. They were late to putting the title on him. He has been taking a lot of L's on WWE TV. Then this week, you've got Trick Williams out there with 60-year-old Undertaker, and Undertaker choke slams him. I'm interested in your thoughts, Jimmy, because we had a disagreement on the Twitter machine about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a disagreement.
I agree. You're wrong.
Okay, so let's talk about the Slammiversary thing first, and then I guess we'll talk about Trick Williams and Taker after that. So I understand. You know how I am. I try to see both sides of everything, always. I understand the negative discourse about the booking of Slammiversary from a fan's perspective. I understand they're in New York. Like you said, they announced their biggest North American attendance, over 7,500 people. Mike Santana's hometown. There's lots of Puerto Rican flags there. I get the negativity. And then JC Jane, she beats Masha Slamovic. She wins the Knockouts title. I get it. The top two TNA singles titles now are on NXT talent. I get it. But I try to look at it from a business perspective, because that's kind of how you have to in this situation. And I understand. I had people on Twitter saying to me, well, I don't care about the business. I care about it as a fan. I get it. From a business perspective, TNA is doing this for a reason. And don't get me wrong, Sean, WWE is very clearly the puppet master in this. And they're very clearly pulling the strings, and they've got a lot of clout. There's no doubt about it. TNA has not had a U.S. rights television deal of any real significance in over 10 years. It was when they left Spike TV in July of 2014. Since then, they haven't had like a real decent deal, to the point that they bought Access TV just to give them U.S. distribution. Now, according to TNA, and maybe you have insight on it, but according to TNA, they have a chance to get a paid U.S. rights fee deal. If that happens, it's because of the partnership with WWE and NXT. That's the primary reason. And so I understand that they're making these booking decisions because that's what they're thinking about. Because they're thinking about, we want to be profitable. This is our chance to do it. A television executive. So one thing that you said to me on Twitter, because some people agreed with me about, you know, they're looking big picture. They're looking at it from a business perspective. Some didn't. And one thing that you said to me was, they're not going to get a TV deal using another guy as champion or something like that. And I agree with you. So a television executive, right, that's going to potentially do a deal with TNA, they don't know who Trick Williams is. They don't know who JC Jane is. Right. They don't know who Mike Santana is. They probably don't know who Joe Hendry is. But they know who WWE is. If TNA is pitching a television executive, there's two things that is going to be appealing to a television executive who presumably is not a wrestling fan. If they're a wrestling fan, it's different. But if they're not a wrestling fan, two things will be appealing. Number one, 52 weeks a year of live sports content. That's number one. Number two, partnership with WWE. That means that you could tell the television executive, our brand, our titles, and your channel will be promoted on WWE television, or it'll be distributed through WWE television, because we can promote your channel, our show, and your channel on their show. And we're going to have their wrestlers on our show and our wrestlers on their show. That's the pitch. That's why they did it.
Maybe you're also telling them, and we're going to get bitched out and cucked.
Yep.
Every time you mean you think they're wrestlers.
Yeah. You know, and right now, yeah. I mean, like I said, right now, WWE, there's no question that WWE knows they're in the driver's seat. There's no question that they know they're in the driver's seat, and they know that this partnership,
they should be in the driver's seat. They're the more powerful entity. I will say TNA gains a lot more in most situations than NXT does. Although I will say this, everybody's like, oh, well, clearly Joe Hendry and Santana are going to go to WWE. Maybe. Right. Because NXT is getting them at a discount right now.
Yep.
They're doing a per appearance thing.
And NXT, the CW is too. CW is getting NXT at a discount right now too. But I mean, I do think Joe Hendry will end up there because Joe Hendry has that entertainment aspect that they like.
And he says they've never promoted NXT's TV on Access once. Well, I don't think they need to.
Yeah.
All the wrestlers are coming there and winning.
Yeah, well, not just that, but what's NXT? What does NXT really benefit from you know, promotion on Access TV?
Yeah,
but,
I mean, Access is a channel of which the only commercials you'll see on it are, I often say, are for Sammy Hagar concerts on Access TV.
Yeah,
there's not a strong advertising base there, but like, I couldn't imagine going to Red Circle, Blue Wire, anywhere like that and saying, well, you should bring me on because I've been able to interview Cody Rhodes a few times. Like, I'll add that and say, these are some of the guys that we have interviewed. This is some of the shows that we do, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, we got Cody Rhodes on this week, so you know what that means. And they'll go, well, what does it mean? And I'll go, I don't know, but here he is.
Yeah, I mean, they did announce, and I don't know the terms, but they did announce a multi-year partnership with WWE. Like, they're, you know, there was the press release and everything. So it's not like they would go to a television executive and say, well, we might be on NXT from time to time. Like, they have a contract. But I think that is the mentality, and I think that's the end game. I think the end game is, because look, TNA, you and I have talked about it so many times, and you've asked me, how are they making money? And the answer is, at least from U.S. television, they're not making any money. They basically have access for distribution, right? They have their show on the Fight Network in Canada, which is a subscription-based channel. And they have like the deal in India that I know kept them afloat for a long time, and a couple of other deals in different countries. But in the U.S., they don't have anything that makes them any money.
And they're doing way better than they were. I mean, listen, guys, when I log on and I see WWE selling 40,000 back-to-back nights, I see AEW announcing near 29,000. Mm-hmm. I see TNA announcing what they're announcing. GCW has a contract for like 65 to 70 shows a year. Mm-hmm. And then I've got people saying, man, the state of these things are embarrassing. I'm like, guys, your boy was covering wrestling when they were on the... Jimmy, here's a story I may have told you before. I was covering TNA about 10 years ago. And my wife's best friend lived with us, right? And a gentleman came over that she is now married to. Wonderful guy. Brought me deer meat and weed. Great guy. And he said, so what do you do for a living? And I was like, well, I cover pro wrestling and all that. And he had like a DIY hunting show, Jimmy. And then I said, well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. This wrestling show that I cover, TNA, is on this channel called Pursuit. And it's a hunting channel of all things. It's a weird situation. And I joked with him. And I said, dude, you could probably get your show on there. And he looks at me, Jimmy, and he said, dude, I am on that channel.
Right.
TNA was two programs before this guy that I just met in rural Kentucky. Yep. That's how bad it was at one point.
I mean, after the Spike deal, remember they really floundered after the Spike deal. I think they were on Destination America, and it was a rev share. Maybe. Yeah, I think it was a rev share.
It was bad. So you know what's funny? They were the lead in for Schitt's Creek at one point, which is, you know, a huge show, like culturally.
Canadian show,
phenomenal show. But on Pop, like, they were the lead in. Pop was like, they knew they had something special with Schitt's Creek, but the audience didn't quite get it until it hit Netflix. But they were trying to bring that audience over to Schitt's Creek and be like, no, there's something really good here. So like, at least wrestling fans were ahead of the boat on that one. But
I mean, it feels like they've been on the verge of death. They've been on the verge of death many times, it feels like.
And they're still around. And right now, people are interested and people are at the very least. But like, I look at this situation and it is a trend of, regardless of regime, they are always late to the party, Jimmy. They were late to the party with Joe Hendry, their own guy. They were late to the party with, like, was it Bobby Roode, like 10 plus years ago, 20 years ago, late to the party with Monty Brown. Imagine how different TNA would have looked if they would have said, let's hitch our wagon to this guy. This guy's got something very, very special. Let's hitch our wagon to it. And how different wrestling history might have been. They're always a little bit late to the party. And I'm just sitting there saying, like, these moments in wrestling are so rare. I saw the former Baron Corbin saying this as well, Tom Pestek. You're in New York City, Mike Santana's hometown. You had him do a media tour. You had him do this build, Puerto Rican flags everywhere. And you're going to switch the title, maybe, if we're lucky, in front of a few thousand white guys in Lowell, Massachusetts in a few months before Mike Santana's contract runs out. And people go, well, maybe they'll keep him. Yeah, maybe they will, because NXT realizes they can get Mike Santana anytime they want him by just saying, TNA doesn't run Tuesdays, come over and do this per date thing. And then, you know, probably King Kong Bundy runs out and hits him with the squisher in the middle.
Probably
of the
not
ring.
King Kong Bundy. He's kind of passed on now, but I get the point.
I don't doubt it. Listen, I don't doubt what WWE can pull off at this point, because at some point you got to start questioning what is the motivation specifically of Trick Williams with the TNA title wrapped around his waist, eating a choke slam from a 60-year-old Undertaker. Now, granted, it is the freaking Undertaker. I buy into the old man, you know, Charles Bronson was out there shooting people in movies at like 80 years old, right? I buy into him as that. But at some point, it's like, maybe wait until we get our partner's title off his waist or something. There are these little jabs, right?
Like, yeah. So I try to see both sides. I understand what you're saying about what happened on NXT with Taker and Trick Williams. I think WWE looks at it a little differently because they were in Houston. And so I think they look at it like, you know, we're in Houston. This is Taker's town. Let's bring him out there. Maybe pop a live gate, maybe pop a rating. That's why I think they had him out there. But I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, 60-year-old Taker lays out the TNA champion. For me, I kind of want to have a wait and see on it a little bit and see where do they go with this. Now, again, WWE, they're in the driver's seat. There's no question. They have a lot of clout. I think TNA has almost got a little bit of desperation. They really want a rights fee deal, right?
And I think they should.
Yeah, and I think they almost have a little desperation. And I think that they know, like, WWE is what's going to bring them to the dance, and I think they know it. And so they're kind of letting these things happen. I think, and maybe 6 months from now, we'll go back and look at this and it was just a joke. But I think Mike Santana will get his due. Maybe he aligns with Taker. I don't know. I think he'll get his due. And ultimately, I think that they want to get the rights for the deal, and I hope the WWE can get it done for them. One thing I want to add to this, because some people said to me on social media, they said, what happens if WWE backs out of the partnership, right? What happens to TNA if they back out of the partnership? At least in the short term, there's no benefit to WWE doing that for various reasons. One reason is the NXT talent, they get these extra reps. If TNA gets a TV deal and they're live 52 weeks a year, that's 52 weeks a year live that NXT talent can get an extra rep in a week. So that's another reason to want to do it. And then you've talked about this. WWE's got ulterior motives. They do, right? They don't want an antitrust lawsuit potentially like what the UFC went through. And they want TNA to gain strength to potentially weaken AEW. And those are big reasons why, because WWE, they can't pull the strings with AEW, but they can damn sure pull the strings with TNA. And yeah. So that's kind of like the behind the scenes, you know, as far as why this is happening too. But I understand why they booked things the way they did at Slammiversary. I understand what TNA's endgame is. And I think we have to just kind of ride it out and see what happens.
PDF says, is WWE the pettiest wrestling company in history? Yes, they are. I mean, traditionally, yes. I don't know that there's ever been another one.
So you remember what Vince McMahon said when he brought Eric Bischoff out on Raw that time?
What's that?
He said, it takes a real son of a bitch to be successful in this business. Mm-hmm. WWE is where they're at for a reason. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like of course Vince, they are.
Yeah, they were cutthroat. It was all business. They in a lot of cases, there was no loyalty. And they are where they are. And if not for the fact that Tony Khan has a dad worth billions, AEW would not exist. They wouldn't.
Of course. And
this is why you've had other wrestling companies come along and they just can't get over the hump because they don't have the funding to get them there. And TNA, for all we know, they're week to week, like financially. We don't know.
We don't know. And I mean, it's interesting. You can tell Carlos Silva, who I interviewed last week, is very interested in being an on-screen character. You can tell that he's very interested in that.
Right.
And I asked Gail Kim, I was like, hey, how many times were there regime changes, like actual bosses change while you were there? And she said, Jeff, Dixie, then Dixie Hogan Bischoff, then Dixie again, then Big John Gaborik, then Bruce Pritchard, then Jeff again, then Scott D'Amore, then Anthony Kitchione, then Ariel Schneer, then 3 months of Carlos. And that's not even bringing up the name Ed Nordholm, who also tried to become a thing there briefly. Don Callis, who was announced as a vice president at one point in that company. There's very little consistency in the vision of TNA over the last 16 years, Jimmy, because if you change that every year and a half, 2 years, it's very tough to really get that traction. But
I 100% agree. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I mean, it looks like right now they're all on the same page in terms of this is the end goal. This is what we want. And so we'll see if it gets done. I mean, if they can't find somebody to pay them guaranteed money when you got WWE kind of in your back pocket, it's just not going to happen. So this is the opportunity.
Will there be a TNA NXT War Games match? I wish. I think that would be great. I don't think there will be, but I would love it if there was. With the TNA suspension storyline, do you think we see Tessa pop up in NXT?
That's a good question.
My heart says no, because if WWE wanted Tessa, they didn't need to wait for TNA to sign her. They had years to sign her. Mm-hmm. They didn't like her when she was in the Mae Young Classic. They didn't think that she handled things well. Her reputation had preceded her. I've always said this many, many times. I think she is a WrestleMania main event caliber in-ring performer and has traditionally shown that she is unwilling to take responsibility for the things that caused her to be in the situation she is. Had she done that 5 years ago, I think she would have already been in a world title match at WrestleMania by now.
I have seen her now several times on TNA television get that chant from the live crowd, you know, the chant I'm talking about. And I saw her at Slammiversary get that chant. And you know, the first thing I thought of, I don't know why. First thing I thought of is teaming with Alexa Bliss isn't going to get her any pops. You know what I mean?
I mean, because yeah.
Alexa's done magic for Charlotte Flair. Buddy,
and imagine what the NXT audience would do to her there.
Yeah, yeah.
The same people who, if they don't want somebody in that building, they are going to chant you out of that building.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Kurt says, happy birthday, Jimmy. Please interview, or Sean, please interview RJ City again. Do either of you support a Premier League team? Thanks for Fightful. I don't, but...
You're not going to say Fulham FC, Sean?
No, is that Tony's? Yeah. Is that okay? No, I do not.
I don't follow soccer, but I've been to 2 Chelsea games in London, and I went because I just felt like going. I love the Ted Lasso show; that's awesome.
Sure,
but I'm not a massive soccer guy, but the Chelsea games were amazing. They were some of the most fun that I ever had at a live sporting event.
Well, if you want to have more fun with live sporting events, check out mybookie.ag. Use the code FIGHTFUL, get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 deposit on a or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. We are 31 of 31 for our lock picks since we've started giving you betting tips on FightfulSelect.com. But right now, here are some odds at MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. SummerSlam, Naomi, a big favorite. Lyra Valkyria, a favorite to win the IC title. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll, you just know they're going to make you realize that Jelly Roll is better at fighting than Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Jade Cargill, a big favorite. That one's one I got my eye on. Cody Rhodes, a favorite to win the world title. CM Punk, a favorite to win the world title. I think Gunther might end up winning that. Dominic and AJ Styles at even odds. Dominic was the favorite. Then Solo Sikoa, both at negative odds. Solo Sikoa slightly favored there. Uh-huh. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, big favorites as well. Do any of those jump off the page as surprising to you, Jimmy?
AJ Dominic, because the storyline is Dominic doesn't want to get in the ring with him, which is why he's carrying around a doctor's note everywhere. Why would AJ lose after that? You finally got him in the ring. Why would you lose? That doesn't make any sense.
Because, one, I want Dominic to start his babyface run imminently.
Which looks like it's going to happen because you see when he's with the Judgment Day now that he seems disinterested. I've noticed
what that. I would like to see is Dominic actually win clean as a sheet.
Really? Over AJ Styles?
And then AJ Styles gives him respect after that. And then AJ Styles go like the next time you see him, he's like, I know we went through our stuff. I know we did all that. But what I gave you means a lot more than what these guys gave you because they've been using you from the jump. And he's like getting AJ Styles to endorse him as a performer.
Right.
I think would go an awful long way.
What did you think of AJ after telling Chris Van Vliet that he would never use his old music again, went out to Slammiversary with that music?
You gotta.
Do you have any insight into that? Because what he told Chris was, unless they sneak it in on me, he goes, I'm never doing it unless they sneak it in on me.
I think they knew, which I mean, TNA does not have the rights to his theme. Like they've got to get, you still got to get all that cleared.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course you've got to have that theme. You've got to have that theme. I want to get to these super chats, humper chats. TC Punk says, happy hump day, new Dynamite, new comics. What are the chances of you picking up the first volume of Feral from Image Comics? It's horror, it's cats, but not abusive. Think Land Before Time meets Night of the Living Dead. TC Punk, like I've got a friend, Maggie Mayhem, who works at Toy Vomit. I wonder if they carry that there. Maybe if so, I'm going to go there and check it out. And if it's there, I will pick it up. I am not a big comic guy these days, but I will check it out because you sent us so many super chats and humper chats that I appreciate. He says, happy hump day again. Really looking forward to this Ring of Honor story. Had such high expectations when Tony Khan bought it. I was getting into pro wrestling again. We know what's happened since. Okay, yeah, I will try to publish that story this week. I've said that for like 2 months, but it is in relation to a TV deal that was discussed at one point. But I'll work on that, TC Punk. I'll get that in there. Nico LaFleur, and by the way, thank you for that very generous humper chat like that. I will 100% post it this week. Nico LaFleur says over under for matches with interference at SummerSlam. Well, if my bookie were to put those odds out there,
it's Triple H.
I would say, guys, put the over at 3 points. Okay, two nights, by the way.
10 matches so far.
10 matches.
But there's probably going to be another two or three.
I'd put the over under at 4.5. So, you'd have to decide between 4 and 5 on that. Which how much would you say?
At least half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter loves his distractions. Hunter loves his distractions and interference finishes. Just loves it.
Yeah. Based on the Variety article, can we expect Netflix to take over the WWE PLE from Peacock in the US? I think if you do, you're going to see another price increase for Netflix. Because that is a hefty piece of business. What WWE does well, Jimmy, is WWE Monday Night Raw is on Netflix. Tuesday Night SmackDown is on basic TV. You can get it with a digital antenna, CW. On Wednesdays, Speed is on X. and then LFG and their bios or all that stuff. Evolve is across Tubi and A&E. Their bios now air on Prime after the fact, which is good for them. On Fridays, you got SmackDown on the USA Network. You have PLEs on Peacock. There is no way that you can have a service these days and not see wrestling, pretty much. Unless you've got NordVPN.com/Fightful and you just use your Netflix account for all of them. But they do that very well. I think they're going to go. Now, if Netflix offers them $1 billion, they'll probably do it. But I think they like spreading things out, Jimmy.
So when they made the Netflix deal originally, Nick Khan alluded to the fact that as their contracts in other geos and whatever expire, the likelihood was that they were going to bring those to Netflix. Remember, they talked about that.
Yes.
And now me being in Canada, I get everything on Netflix. And like you said, if you use NordVPN, you get everything on Netflix. I think unless a Peacock or unless another outlet really offers them an amount of money that, you know, you just can't say no, I think odds are they do go to Netflix for the US rights because they're already set up. They're set up. Like it's they literally just flip a switch and add the US IPs and you're good to go. So I think the odds are that that's where they want to go. Now, long term, it's risky. You're putting all your eggs in one basket. And Netflix has this reputation of, you know, they will cancel you if you're not hitting where they expect you to hit. But I think that that's where they're headed unless, like I said, NBCU or whoever else they're talking to offers them an amount that they just can't pass up.
Also, if you want to make sure you're hitting where you're supposed to hit, use Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. TC Punk says, I love listening to Live Humps. Thank you for your hard work. Hopefully my last two Humper chats made sense from a couple days ago. Thank you. First off, TC Punk, thank you very much for sending this mini. And yeah, that's one of the benefits of Humper chats. You can send them in like 2 days ahead like TC Punk did, which we greatly appreciate. Thank him for doing that. Eddie also says, Sean, my brother, he actually asked about the Tessa thing. He goes, please tell me she isn't going to NXT. Have a great week, Brody. And do you think that it's possible AJ versus Trick is the match for Bound for Glory? Jimmy, wouldn't that be such a WWE pilled thing to do?
I would.
And TNA thing to be like, well, he's the WWE guy's coming back to win it for TNA because none of their guys can. I love AJ Styles. It would be a great moment. Oh my God, that would be rough to do.
You remember when Mike Awesome was leaving for WCW? And what did ECW do?
They put the title on Taz.
They put the title on WWE contracted Taz. Yeah. So there's a precedent for it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit too naive, but I feel like Mike Santana is going to get his due. I do. I feel like that.
I hope so. He's like a really special talent. Like he's really connecting with that audience and oh man, I'm just thinking about that. And I'm like,
I do think WWE probably wants to get him and Henry under contract, but, I feel like he'll get his due.
Oh man. What's up with Julia's booking? Tama Tonga update. Tama Tonga looked like he was going to face surgery. I don't know, but Julia has been very vocal that she wants a match at SummerSlam and she should, but honestly, the booking of that United States title has been completely dog shit since it
from
started.
The get-go. From the get-go.
They never did good. They've never done good with it. So that's what's up with it. Triple H has no vision for that.
Yep. I want to ask, talk about Julia because she's on my list here.
Okay.
So she did an interview with the Japanese YouTube channel called Abima. And she was asked about SummerSlam, and here's a quote from her. This was translated by a Twitter channel at Nitro V. So what she said was, and I felt bad that she said it like this, but what she said was, if I don't do anything for 2 days, I don't think I can forgive myself. So I definitely have to get in there. I want to have a title match. It's sad for her to say that when it's out of her control. But
yeah,
my question for you is, they've got 4 women's matches announced so far over the 2 nights. And they're teasing a fifth because they're teasing Chelsea's group against Nikki Bella and Stephanie Van Kuur and a third partner. And everybody thinks the third partner is going to be Brie Bella. Do you think even though Julia has been booked as a heel, that maybe she could be the third partner in that tag team match?
Because
they're teasing Brie a little bit, right?
Possibly, I do. But you got to remember, they've got a Raw in Brooklyn and a SmackDown in Newark to fill out as well. And WWE loves to do, and I like the strategy where they're like, well, we got to put some big matches on those as well. And that's the benefit of them having fewer matches on cards, but now they got two nights. Mm-hmm. The title means as much as you tell us it means. And
I agree. I mean, they've turned around the IC title because the IC title was the same way for a while.
Well, so, I mean, a lot of that, I believe, was Becky protesting and saying, like, I want these underneath programs to mean something.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. And Julia is a great talent. She's got a superstar look. And it's unfortunate that they just haven't. I mean, Stephanie, they booked like $1 million.
Yeah.
And Julia, they haven't. It's unfortunate.
Demand, we did do this one earlier, but the thoughts on Slammiversary discourse, unsure about the WWE Netflix series, but Fantastic Four this week. Let's crank. I went and watched Anchorman in the theaters last night, Jimmy.
I saw you post a screenshot of that.
No. The Unreal series, I'll tell you what. I mean, people in the company are like, well, we don't know like how real it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because immediately they did a thing where they presented like the iShow speed thing in that trailer as if it actually happened.
As if it was real that he didn't know.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be their way to apply plausible deniability and be like, oh, none of you all actually know what happens here, and this is what actually happens. This is the second time Punk has mentioned coming back to WWE on multiple different occasions. Do you think AEW was his way back to WWE? He definitely had interest in coming back to WWE before AEW, Jimmy. That's evident.
So Punk did an interview, I don't know when, relatively recently, where he said that he had a verbal deal. He met with Vince McMahon and Triple H and had a verbal agreement to come back to WWE prior to AEW even launching. And then Vince ghosted him. Punk said that in an interview. So my opinion, and this is my opinion, Sean, and I mean no disrespect, I think Punk needed the money. This is my opinion. He had been out of the game for a while. I think he needed the money. I think that he wanted WWE. I think that he thought backstage on FS1 was going to be his way back in. And then Vince ghosted him and AEW was the backup plan. That's my opinion.
It's insane that he even would have needed to be on another show to get back in. He's a major star.
He is a major star. And I still every now and then go back and look at his AEW debut. That was just, even if you don't like AEW, that was an all-timer, his debut in AEW. But I think AEW was the backup.
No promotion. Just simply the promotion of a little website called FightfulSelect.com. In the damn news, Jimmy. $5.99 a month. Get Q&As, get exclusive news. Every day I got a Q&A article up there. Please support original creators and support FightfulSelect.com, guys. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, giving Cross beat Sammy and the feud is continuing. Do you think he's staying? They're slowly investing more time into him. Contrary to what he tells people privately, I don't think he's going to tell anybody about his contract. I might report something about that today of what he's telling people, but I think he's staying. He's on PLEs. He's winning on Raw. He's got new merch. It is very funny, Jimmy. Anytime I compliment the work of Cross or Natalya, people are like, very clearly Sean Ross Sapp source. And I'm like, what? Like, well, let's go through your Twitter and see some of the shitters you guys put over. Let's see some. Well, let's go back and find your like 10-year-old NXT tweets and some of those, because I think that Karrion Kross is a phenomenal supporting player in what he's doing. He's getting other people over, and then people will be like, well, he's not good in the ring. Well, I'm sorry. Has that affected the overness of this man so far? Has like completely fine what I saw out of the Sami Zayn matches. It was okay.
Let me ask you your opinion on this. So the problem I'm having with this program, and this is kind of a WWE thing. So Sammy won the first one.
Yes.
Cross wins the second one.
Yeah.
Who's getting over?
Well, I mean, I think this is all planting seeds of doubt in Sami Zayn's head. This is a placeholder program for Sami Zayn to ascend up the card again.
Yeah, I get it.
And become world champion.
World title. I get it. Yeah.
That's what Cross is doing. Cross is motivating him through doubt. Like, that's what this whole thing is. Sammy's going to win this feud. Like, it's very clear to me.
Yeah. It just feels like that Hunter does so much 50-50 stuff, and it just feels like no one really benefits from it. And a side question for you.
Sure.
They know that Cross's contract's coming up. And they know that he's been getting attention on social media because he does a really good job on social media. Do you think they're putting him on Raw and getting him a t-shirt so he'll resign? That's the reason why?
I think that he won't say anything, even if he does, because he understands that that's probably better for his buzz. So Joel says, Goldberg said he wanted to run as Cena and wanted this build since January. The difference in Cena is wrestling every PLE. No way Bill is making more than 10 appearances between January and Saturday night's main event. Well, yeah, Bill Goldberg doesn't act like, oh my God, to wrestle a 4-minute match, I got to go through training camp and oh, this and that and this and that. John Cena just goes out there and does his job. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's 10 years younger. It helps a little bit, but
yeah, well, but you know, 10 years ago he was doing that same thing.
But the thing about Goldberg too, and I don't want to like shit on the guy, but he knew everything for a while. You know what I mean? He knew it was going to be on NBC. He knew the plan, and so whatever. I've said my piece on Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, Mirror with Blake Monroe's entrance was fantastic. She's coming along on there. It hasn't been too promising yet, but I love her social media game too. When they're like, oh, do you think that she knew Jordan Grace was there? She's like, she posted a video of her breaking into the building. Of course I knew she was there. K775 says, do you think we're watching Jordan and Ricky's NXT swan song? If they bring some NXT talent or TNA talent over to NXT, I think it's possible. But Jordan Grace, I was surprised that she was in NXT. I don't think she'll be there too long. Ricky was one that they pretty well put on NXT because I think they had the Mania program set. So yeah, I do think that we're seeing the swan song there, Jimmy.
What else is there for Ricky to do? You know what I mean?
Not a lot.
And Jordan just has this once in a lifetime kind of look about her, man. She's just different than everybody else. So she's 100% going to get an opportunity, just like, and I'm going to call her Mariah May probably because I can't help it, but Blake Monroe, same. She's got like this $1 million look and her opportunity is going to come too. I see people already kind of writing her off a little bit because of how she's presented in NXT and because they think about how she was presented in AEW, but her time is going to come because she's too talented and has too good of a look for that not to happen.
DJ Cass says, what's up, guys? Hope you're doing all right. Keep up the good work. Officially, I have 8 matches under my belt as a referee thanks to my AML training. DJ Cass, are you going to be at WrestleCade this year? I go every year. I assume since you do AML that you will be. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. And congrats. Imagine ghosting CM Punk on the absolute dog shit year that was 2019. One of the worst pro wrestling WWE years I covered. It was abysmal. It was so bad. Just repeated stupid ass decisions.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon.
What's funny about Vince McMahon is, so you know how he always had the reputation of, I'll give people a second chance. And so he would bring back, you know, Jesse Ventura, and he brought back people that he had an issue with. Sure. At the same time, like, towards the end of his work with the Ultimate Warrior, Linda had to do the talking for him. Did you know that?
Linda
was the conduit because Vince didn't want to talk to him. So it doesn't surprise
Vince is
me
also,
too much.
Vince is also very bitter and petty over stuff as well. Like, even if somebody works for him, sometimes he doesn't treat him like they're on his team.
Yeah, but at the same time, they did send him his papers on his wedding day. So
yeah,
it's not because I realized Punk was a pain in the ass to deal with. I'm sure he was.
Sure, but I mean,
Vince,
like,
Vince and Hunter were too. Both of them.
There's no way they didn't know what they were doing there. Right. It was very intentional, and they wanted the guy to work unhealthy. They wanted him at risk. The things that CM Punk said in that Colt Cabana interview that got him sued are things that absolutely needed to be brought to light.
Right,
they sure did. Do you think the way Bayley's being used, we'll see a Pamela Martinez is All Elite graphic in the near future? Well, not the near future. She's under contract through next year. I could absolutely see Bayley ending up in AEW. There's not a lot for her left to accomplish in WWE, a WrestleMania main event maybe. Mm-hmm. But I could absolutely see that, Jimmy.
I agree. I mean, everybody's going to immediately think of Mercedes. But sure. I agree. And you know, the way she's been utilized and being left off of WrestleMania, and now it looks like she might be left off of SummerSlam too, maybe.
Yeah.
So, maybe she'll come into play with the Becky match somewhere. But I agree.
Sean, named the top five worst finishers and top best finishers. Well, this is very, very like
subjective,
subjective and abrupt. The Rose Plant is one of the worst. I think the 619 is good for
being. It's kind of a setup. It's a setup. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always hated the Warriors Big Splash because the guy wasn't exactly Bundy. Yeah, he wasn't exactly Bundy, so I didn't like the Big Splash. Right.
Yeah, it's like, are we talking like current or?
Yeah, or all time, yeah.
Or all time.
You know who I always loved? This is all time. I love Power and Glory's finisher. I thought it was great.
Okay.
And I really like Bianca Belair's.
Oh, hers is fantastic. Hers is one of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Hers is one of the best. The BFT can be good. It's either really good or really bad. I love the look of the Soul Snatcher, but it doesn't make sense. The move doesn't make sense at all. Man, doing five is tough. I love the Crossroads. I think that one always ends up.
The Stunner is always a great one. The Stunner is all time.
Yeah. I think too many people use a spear. I would limit that. I would limit the Frog Splash. I don't even know who's using as a finish anymore.
Dom.
The Riptide has gotten a lot better, so that one's improving. I can't do an official ranking right now.
People are saying the RKO because of the creativity. Of course, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We got a couple more. DNC Digital says, hope all is well. Sorry, it's been a while since I've been able to watch the Hump Live. Lost my job, but excited for what's next. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, my friend. I did see your message, but thank you very much. He says, possibly hosting a post-SmackDown show. What's next? Make a faction with WWE, AEW, TNA, MLW. Ooh. I would go.
That's a hard one. I'm not touching that. You go ahead.
Okay. Cody Rhodes, MJF, Hammerstone. I'll throw in Richard Holiday on the Indies. And then on TNA. And I would make all these heels, by the way. In TNA. I would add. Mustafa Ali to that as well.
Really? With that group?
A good little heel faction there. Hmm. Yes. Meet Norma says, does Cope Christian versus FTR factor into the title? And when does Brian Cage return? Brian's going to be out for a while, I think. He had another surgery. I talked to him recently. He said he's healing up. He's doing better. Where's it factor into the title picture? It wouldn't shock me to see FTR end up winning the tag titles and they drop them to Cope and Christian in Toronto. Mm-hmm. It seems like TK is waiting to do that. Hurt Syndicate versus Murder Machines match. Happy birthday, Jimmy. First off, again, happy early birthday. The tag team division has had a lot of, like, it's just not been as flavorful as it should be. Hasn't been as heavy as it should be. It's just like, well,
Hurt Syndicate, you got your dominant champions.
You do have your dominant champions, but like have some underneath feuds, and FTR and Outrunners did that. Very, very good. But I feel like they need substance based stories. And I think you'll get there with the Young Bucks going back to their roots. But I do think that Cope and Christian eventually become tag champs this year, Jimmy.
In Toronto makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Guys,
before we wrap up, I do want to talk about Hogan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because that's been on the news. Do you want me to do it now? Do you have any more super chats?
Yeah, I've got no super chats right now.
Okay, so I figured we should talk about Hulk Hogan because Bubba the Love Sponge was at it again this week.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, so he said on his radio show that Hogan isn't doing well. He said that he can't speak, has a damaged trachea. He said that Hogan was transported to his house in Tampa and he's bedridden in a hospital bed. And then Jimmy Hart responded on Twitter. My gut tells me that Jimmy Hart or whoever handles his Twitter copied and pasted what he wrote because there was a quotation mark on the end. But what Jimmy Hart on Twitter said was, Hulk is doing great, doing phenomenal. Last night at karaoke with Nick was absolutely fantastic. Nick being Hogan's son. And he said he was with Nick, didn't say he was with Hogan. So yep. I know people that know Hulk Hogan. They're not part of his team, but they know him. And so I reached out to see what they could find out. And they told me a couple things, not too much, but they told me that they are getting very vague updates from Hogan's team. They said Hogan's team is keeping things very quiet. They said that they do know that Hogan is at home. So they said that that much is true. They said that they feel Hogan's team has done a shitty job handling the whole situation from a communication perspective. And they also said that they feel Hogan's team ran him into the ground. That was a direct quote, ran him into the ground with the beer promotion because his schedule was crazy leading up to all of these latest rumors. I remember when Hogan was on Logan Paul and you could see how tired he was. So he said that. A date to keep an eye on is August 30th, because August 30th is the debut of Real American Wrestling scheduled for. Oh, there he goes. Yep. Scheduled for Cleveland, and Hogan is scheduled to be there. So August 30th is
72 at that point, 72.
Right.
And what I'll say, I mean, listen, I've made my thoughts on Hogan as a human being well known, but I mean, man, it's honestly, it's sad that he's still got to do all this. I know some of it. I'm sure he wants to.
He's made his money. He's doing all right. Yeah. He's doing okay financially.
But like, what the fuck is Bubba the Love Sponge doing? This idiot, this attention seeking dipshit.
That's exactly what it is.
And the things that Hogan said should have been exposed, should have been out there. But like the other stuff, the private stuff, like you violated the trust of your best friend who gave you job, money, credibility, helped you immensely. But now after that dude sued and was like, get out of my life, you're out here speculating on his health. Now, quite frankly, I don't know if Bubba and Hulk Hogan have a relationship or not, but whether the facts are true or not, Bubba the Love Sponge shouldn't be the one out there talking about it.
I agree.
Bubba the Love Sponge, what a fucking dweeb. What an absolute weeb this
and
guy.
He said on his radio show that it was like a source connected to Jimmy Hart. So like it wasn't even him talking to Hogan directly or anything like that. So yeah, anything Bubba the Love Sponge says, you got to take with a grain of salt. But when this stuff comes up, I reach out to people that I know to try to find something out. But when it happened the last time, I found out that he was fine. It was just a reaction to the neck surgery that he had. And this time I've only heard what I just said,
you remember when Awesome Kong beat him up?
Bubba?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Vince Russo saved his life.
Okay.
Vince Russo had to pull off. Imagine that scene. Like, from what I understood, Bubba was down there in the fetal position.
Right.
And Kong's punching, saying, like, this is for Haiti. And Russo, like, pulled her off. Oh my god.
So basically on her resume, she's got that and she's got cutting your hair. She got both those things on her resume.
Yeah. a lovely woman. Like she asked me like where I was donating it to, all that stuff. But yeah, Vince talked about that on one of the Wrestling Inc. Podcasts I did with him, and I was like, hey, what, tell us about this. Weren't you there? And he's like, no, I saved that man's life. Which awesome. Listen. Since Vince hates us, I can just say this. Kind of wish you wouldn't have Vince. You should have just let it go.
I don't know if Vince hates me. I don't hate him, but whatever. I know you guys have your
family. I don't either. I just want him to leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's all. But you should have pulled one of these. Should have pulled one of those because nobody likes Bubba the Love Sponge. But
you posted something on Twitter yesterday. You said, who are some of the musical acts or performers that would be in a wrestling music hall of fame? Did you post that after the news of Ozzy Osbourne passing came out or before?
So I don't think I knew for like an hour. I didn't post it with that in mind.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
And that happened. Yeah.
Okay. But
Jim Johnson's obvious. Mikey Ruckus will get there. You know, the people that produce the majority of themes. Jimmy Hart, obviously.
Yep. Cyndi Lauper. But like, 1000%.
Sure. But I mean, like, people are thinking about this as like, oh, well, they made appearances. I'm thinking of it like, what did they produce? Yep. So I'm thinking like the Chris Warren band who did
Rick Derringer.
DX. Yeah, but I mean, like, even a wide body of work, like the Chris Warren band did DX's theme, Triple H's, X-Pac's, they did the WWF Superstars theme. They did the theme with Run DMC. You've got people that have done multiple, like
Motorhead.
Drowning Pool, for example. They are iconic because Bodies was in Anarchy in the Arena. It was a part of ECW. Mm-hmm. They did a Triple H theme. They did a Dudley Boys theme. Saliva wrote a song inspired by WrestleMania that was then used on WrestleMania. Like, and then a bunch of those.
I look at Cyndi Lauper. She didn't do anybody's entrance music, but the Rock and Wrestling Connection is what really brought WWE nationwide and worldwide. And she was at the forefront of that. So she definitely should be in there. And going back to Ozzy Osbourne, when I was a kid, and even as an adult, Black Sabbath was not on my radar. And when I was a kid, my only exposure to Ozzy Osbourne was that he was in the corner of the British Bulldogs at WrestleMania 2 when they beat Valentine and Beefcake for the titles. Years later, he had that reality show, right? The Osbournes?
Yeah.
And it was like a massively popular reality show. And even as an adult, Black Sabbath wasn't on my radar. And when I saw the reality show, the first thing that popped into my brain was, is that the guy that was with the Bulldogs at WrestleMania 2? Because that's how I knew of him. I was ignorant to his legacy back then.
He was producing great music like up until a couple of years ago. Patient Number 9, great song. But he hosted Raw. He did the WWE's Got Talent where Chris Masters did the peck dance. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame and all that. He performed on SmackDown in 07. He was on SmackDown versus... Or he's on WWE 23 soundtracks as well. Like,
and didn't he perform like literally a few days ago?
It was 2 weeks ago. He had his farewell concert.
Unbelievable. Raised
millions for charitable causes.
Right.
Millions for charitable causes. Incredible.
Right.
And a loss for sure. Tim Traver, our good friend. No More Tears by Ozzy. Ooh, that's an all-timer. At all times.
I mean, people might remember the Road Warriors entrance music before they went to WWE was Black Sabbath.
Of course. Of course, yeah.
Matter of fact, I saw a clip on Twitter yesterday that I didn't even realize. So do you remember early 90s, the WWF had a deal with, I think it was SWS, the small Japanese promotion.
I do remember that.
So they would bring the WWF talent there. And in 91, I think it was, when the Road Warriors were now the Legion of Doom in the WWF and they were the tag team champions, and they went over and did a WWF show with SWS, they came out to their Black Sabbath music.
Yeah,
which is something that WWE never, ever did at that time. But the Road Warriors did, because that's how the Japanese knew them. So I thought that was cool.
I've had some people talking about the Music Hall of Fame for wrestling that I mentioned. What I would do is have like contributor wing, then a wing that is like popular, like pop music, like
right, pop culture,
their contributions. Then I would have one specifically for moments, because people keep bringing up like one individual moment. And I'm like, well, is that enough to get you in? But I'll tell you one that would be in there, Jimmy, when WWE had Jagged Edge perform Teddy Long's Wedding. It was the most incredible. Oh, it was so good.
I have to go back R&B and look at that one.
Phenomenal. And you got Jeff Hardy there dancing to it. It was so good.
I'll have to go back and look at it.
The best. But like, listen, you Alter Bridge would probably make it in there.
Yeah.
Like from the pop wing and stuff. But I would have those three. I'd have contributor wing, the band wing, and then specifically the moment wing as well.
I think they need a Mr. T wing, because he's still giving a speech, I think.
Oh, God. Jimmy, tell the people what we got or what you're up to. Obviously, this overlay that I forgot to put up. There we go.
It's okay. Yeah, if you're not happy at your job, if you want advice on how to do better at your job, better managing people, or better running a business, mm-hmm. My book, The Storytelling Salesman, you can get it from shop.fifo.com or from storysalesman.com. I've been starting to do podcasts promoting it. I've been a little bit lazy with it because life is busy, but I've been starting to do that. So check that out. I have a few I have to ship out this week, actually. So I'll try to get that done.
Guys, Fightful.com, we underwent a site migration. There's still a lot of glitches, a lot of things popping up, a lot of things being adjusted. We're working on that. But what you'll see is me promoting Fightful.com a lot more. We have more free content than any other wrestling website out there. The most talented team of writers. They work very hard verifying this stuff. Quite frankly, I'll bury Sportskeeda. It ain't going to be like Sportskeeda where you click on a link that says somebody leaving WWE question mark. Then you open it up and it says examining the possibilities. We ain't doing that shit. We don't do that. We want to respect your intelligence. So we ask you support when you see that on social media. Support, like share the articles, all that. Visit the articles. We want to treat you like you're smart people because you are smart people. This week on Fightful, the last week and a half, I had a Fightful Studios video, what it's like interviewing Bret the Hitman Hart. We had Carlos Silva last week. We had Santana. Corey interviewed Isla Dawn. I had Speedball Mike Bailey in what was one of my favorite interviews ever. If you're interested in that type of psychology, we have a new Fightful Fightful Presents video coming out about the Spirit Squad very soon here on YouTube. And by the way, you can check out all these playlists that give you guys the ability to easily check this stuff out and see like our studio videos, our behind the scenes interviews, all that good stuff, our behind the scenes videos, and of course FightfulSelect.com. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.